our study. I've entitled it Mirror, Mirror. It's essentially a study on image, a study of image. We're talking about image, what it means, what the Bible means when it says image. Last week when we ventured out into this study, we had a little fun with it. We're going to have a little bit more fun tonight. But we were essentially talking about how what the world thinks of image and what the Word of God presents as image are two different things. Many times when we think of image, we think of something in the physical. We think of what we see when we look in the mirror. And while there is some to that, obviously, the reality of being in the image of God has to do with our character, has to do with our integrity, has to do with our behavior, our conversation, the Bible would say. And we talked about it in the sense, our focus verse is found in James chapter 1, and it's a verse that, if been around here any length of time, you know I quote from this passage quite a bit. It's a very familiar passage to many, but it says so much. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart our filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Last week we talked about that word glass and what it meant, and what it's really referring to is a mirror. A man that looketh in, beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Last week when we ventured out into this study, we talked about how that the Word of God is a mirror. The perfect law of liberty, as James puts it, essentially is defining the Word of God. It is showing us that the more we look into the Word of God, the more that we compare ourselves, not among ourselves, but we compare ourselves with the Word of God. For the Bible says that if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. But if we compare ourselves and we look into the perfect law of liberty and we continue therein, in other words, it's not just every now and then. It's not just looking in the Word of God on Sunday or even just on Wednesday night. It's living in the Word of God. It's reading the Word of God. It's knowing the Word of God. And by that knowledge being transformed, by that knowledge being conformed to His image and what it means to be a Christian or what it means to be Christ-like. And so tonight we're venturing out a little bit further. Last week we talked about how that it's much easier to see the blemishes on other people's face. We use stickers, and we talked about how that we could very easily point out the places that other people fail or other people mess up. But the reality is that's not what the Word of God is all about. Yes, we can help one another. Yes, we can encourage one another. Yes, we can strengthen one another. But the reality of the Word of God is that it is a mirror that we look into, and through that or from that reflection, we can understand that there's places in our own lives that need attention. There's things about our own image, if you will, that have yet to conform to the image of God. There are things about you and there are things about me that need work. He's still working on me. And the more that you and I submit, the more that you and I allow that work to be done in our lives, and the more that we, if you will, in a natural sense, the more we conform or the more we exercise ourselves unto godliness, the more that we do those things, just as if we did those things in a natural, it would begin to change us, right? If in the physical, and the Bible says we understand spiritual things or supernatural things by looking at natural things, if in the natural someone was determined to change their image, guess what? It would take some discipline. It would take somebody, let's say that someone who felt themselves to be unhealthy and they wanted to be healthy, they wanted to feel better about themselves, they wanted to look better, they wanted to like what they see more when they looked in the mirror. Well, that just doesn't happen on its own. Now, I know there are all kinds of wonder drugs and all kinds of programs, and especially as we near the end of this year and the beginning of next year, boy, the advertisement for that kind of stuff is going to skyrocket because people try to seize the moment and seize the opportunity for people who want to change their image. They want to be different. They want to be more fit. They want to be more healthy. They want to dress better. Whatever the case may be, as all those things in the natural take work, it takes discipline, it takes sacrifice, so too is it in the spiritual. And if you and I are going to be conformed into the image of God, if you and I are going to be more Christ-like today and tomorrow than we were yesterday and the day before, it's going to take work. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take effort. And it is going to take sacrifice. And so when we look into this, let's take it from a natural standpoint. Let's talk about, this is crowd participation. This is time for you to interject. And let's talk. What are some uses for a mirror? Just you in. Reflects light. You use to reflect light. Anybody else? What's that? Reflects our image. Look in the mirror to see what hair is out of place or, you know, what needs to be done. Anybody else? Think outside the box a little bit. I know you're thinking along the lines of I'm teaching and that's good, but what are some other things we use mirrors for? Microscope. Yes. Signal warning. Very good. Look around corners. Very good. So you don't hit anything when you back up. I'm glad you said that, because we're going there. Do you realize that when you get in a vehicle, you are using mirrors, your rearview mirror, your side mirrors, you're using the reflection to make sure you don't back up into something, make sure that you can see hopefully whatever is behind you. And so we use mirrors on a daily basis. You know what? Something else it's crazy about a mirror is it, how many times have you seen a place that has a mirror, a reflected, you know, surface, and watch people as they stop? It's hard. Harder for some than others, but it's hard for some people to go past a mirror without stopping to see. It is no wonder why in a lot of fitness areas and gyms and workout areas, the walls are what? Mirrors. Why? So they can see the development, man. They can like what's going on as they're pumping iron and getting fit, and they like what's happening, so it gives them a good feeling to see that, man, as the blood pumps through the muscles and the muscles get bigger than they were when they got in, and they're like, yeah. Then they eat a sundae on the way home to celebrate. Kidding. But we are interacting with mirrors. Anybody ever heard of DLP? You remember a few years ago, a DLP came out. It was a new technology. It was by Texas Instruments. Anybody know what that stands for? No? Digital light display. Basically what it is tiny mirrors that reflect all the different colors of light and put that image up on a screen. So I think this may even be a DLP projector or LCD. But in the DLP technology, it is mirrors, that little tiny mirrors that change, and the angle of that mirror changing. And the technology is pretty amazing, but the angle of that mirror changing as a prism of light hits it is what causes the image that comes on the screen. Pretty cool. And so we interact with mirrors on a daily basis. As I said last week, for many of us, it's one of the first things we look into when we get up in the morning, and it's one of the last things we look into before we go to bed. It's just the way we work. We are very accustomed to mirrors. We use mirrors to see what we cannot see without reflection. Catch it. Behind us, around, over obstacles. I remember as a kid, one of the coolest things I remember getting one time in a Happy Meal was a little periscope that went up about maybe 4 or 5 inches, and you looked in this end, and so you could see out the other end, so you could get behind the little wall, and you could look in, and you'd be over the top, and I thought that was so cool, because I could stay hidden behind the wall, but yet I could see what was on the other side, because I had the little, and the way that worked was just little mirrors, so I could see what was on the other side. Working in the reflection of a mirror takes some adjusting, for you have to figure out how your movements correspond with the reflection. It happened some time ago, but Austin has now started doing his own hair. And while that's great because it's a time saver, it's also kind of amusing at times. But I walked in the other day and he was doing his hair and he's still figuring out. You know, We've done it for years now, but he's just starting, so he's still figuring out how that when he moves one way in this way in the mirror, and so you can a couple times he would oh, and then he'd realize no, that's over here, and he's trying to get that down pat because it's a little bit different. I remember growing up, my mom, who has very very long hair, my mom had this thing that hung around her neck and went like on the back, where she could look into the mirror and then look on the mirror that was hanging on her neck so that she could do the back of her hair. And I thought to myself, man, I have a hard enough time just looking in the mirror and doing something there, and then now I'm supposed to look in that mirror to that mirror and then do something. But over time, you adjust to it. You figure out how your movements correspond with the reflection, and you're able to do it. You're able to function in that mirror or in that reflection just as if you were doing it without the reflection. So we have these different areas, and I want to take some time here in Colossians number 3, because this is really the crux of what I want to talk about. Colossians chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection upon things above. In other words, set your attention upon things above. If I want to do something, ladies, if you want to fix your hair in the morning as you're getting ready to go off, it will not help you if, though you have a mirror in front of you, you are looking at something else. If your attention is otherwise averted, it doesn't matter how big the mirror is. It doesn't matter how clean the mirror is. It doesn't matter how greatly positioned the mirror is. If you're not looking into the mirror, or if the mirror is not where your attention is, you're going to have a little trouble. It's no different in our spiritual lives. If we are not putting our attention, if we are not setting our affection upon things above, if our attention and our focus is not on the good things of God, not on the Bible and its precepts, guess what? I'm not going to be able to do right. I'm not going to be able to live right. I'm not going to be able to do the things that the Bible says. Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer of the word. And if my attention is not focused upon the word, and my lifestyle is not set in the direction of the word of God, I'm not going to be able to do what the word of God says. Let me say it as candidly as I know how. It is very hard, nigh into impossible, to be a spiritual person if my attention is always caught up in carnal stuff. I'm going to say that again. It's nigh into impossible to be a spiritual person if my attention is always centered and going towards carnal stuff. That's why it is important that I look into the perfect law of liberty, and I continue therein. That's why it is important that I learn to set my affection upon things above. That's why it is important that what the Word of God says matters more to me than what the population says. That's why it is important to me that no matter what somebody says or what somebody denotes as being permissible and allowable, if the Word of God is against it, that's where my attention is, and that's where my focus is. And I set my affection upon things above. My attention and my desire is what is spiritual and what is spiritually beneficial to me. Now, we've all heard the term, "Oh, that individual is so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good." I wish someone would explain that to me. The way I see it, the more heavenly minded I am, the more good that happens here on this earth. The more attention that I have directed toward the things of God and what is spiritual, the less carnal I am. I know I wouldn't get too many amens on that one. But that's the reality of looking into the perfect law of liberty. That's the reality of looking into the mirror of the Word of God on a consistent basis, because it's showing me, it's revealing the areas of my life that need work. The travesty is, there's many people, the only time they ever look into the perfect law of liberty is on Sundays, maybe Wednesdays, maybe special services. Mm-mm. James says, if you look into the perfect law and continue therein, a daily looking, a daily. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. In other words, my own image and my own desires and my own longings that will fight against the spirit, that struggle, my carnality, my will that is not in accordance with the will of God. My own fleshly human nature will battle and will war against what is right. And so I have to keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest when I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now, never saw this before. I've always looked at that verse of scripture as being prophetic, or as being in the sense of Christ appearing in the second coming. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't. I believe there is application there, but I believe there's further application in day-to-day living. Think of it this way. When Christ, who is our life, or who is our being, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. In other words, as I conform my life, and the more of me is done away with, and the more that Christ shows through, the more glory he gets, and together, if you will, we have that glory. Not glory as of myself, not so people look at me and say, oh wow, what a great person he is. And no, but so people look at me and see Jesus and say, wait a second, how does he do that? How does he live like that? How does he act like that? I tell you how. It's not in of me. It's because I'm allowing Christ to be manifested through me. When Christ shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. I desire that God gets glory from my life. I desire. It is a longing of mine that when people view me and my life, they see godliness. They see righteousness. Not in a condescending, judgmental way, but in a loving, humble way that says, I love manifesting my God. I love revealing his wondrous works. How? Through my own life. Through me coming to the mirror, the perfect law of liberty, and saying, okay, how do I be more like Jesus? Because that's what it's all about. How? What areas of my life are not like him? What areas of my life do I find that don't conform with his image? And that's where I need to work. And maybe I have some issues with anger that I need to work on. All right. Saw something the other day, kind of funny. So we always say, what would Jesus do? And then the caption of that said, well, at one time he turned over tables and drove out people with a whip. Righteous indignation. Not, be angry and sin not. Neither let the sun go down upon your wrath. We have provision. There are times that we deal with human emotions, yes. There are times when we as individuals, God created us that way. We are individuals. We are people. We are not robots. We all have differences in our lives. We all have different personality traits and types. But the reality is the more that those conform to the image of God, and the more there's unity in how we operate and how we work and how we live, the better image of Jesus Christ we are being to the world. Mortify therefore your members. Well, that sounds fun. Kill therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. When you lived in them, when you did those things, when that was your lifestyle, when you weren't worried about the Word of God or what the Word of God says, when you weren't endeavoring to live according to the principles and precepts of the Word of God, when you did what was right in your own eyes and you decided that your goals would be akin to the other people's goals and your aspirations would be like the rest of the world, and so you participated in and you gave yourself over to these things and the lust of your flesh and all those desires that you desired and you wanted, and he says, you got to kill those. Mortify. Kill them. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Got to kill those things. You got to bring them into subjection. Why? Because they don't present the image of God. Those things do not present an image of righteousness and holiness. And those things do not present the image that I want to present to the world. But then look at this next part. But now ye also put off. Everybody say put off. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off. Everybody say put off. That you have put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man. Everybody say put on. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Two things the writer Paul is writing here to the church of Colossae. He's telling them there's two things that have to happen. You got to put off, you got to put on. You got to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. I need some help. I need a volunteer. No? Anybody? Come on. Sister Sue Ann's going to volunteer. Anybody else? Come on, Brother Alex. Brother Wallace, could you do me a favor? And in the nursery, could you grab me some of those baby wipes? For you? For you? All right. Now, every time that I mention one of these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, or lie, when I mention one of these things, I want you to take some of that, put it on your finger, and then put it on your face. Aren't you glad you volunteered? You ready? Anger. All right. That's great, bro. Wrath. Don't be shy about the color. Malice. Get it all over the place. I've said three, you only got two dots. All right. Blasphemy. Oh, there you go. Now you're getting the filthy communication. That's one. You can just do one. I mean, unless you want to do filthy communication. I mean. All right. Lying. All right. Now, present yourselves to the congregation. I'll take it from you now. I do we got some wipes? There weren't any in there? Oh, that's not good. Sister Wallace, could you go down and get some nice wash rags? We'll truly find out if you have pastor appreciation after this. All right, thank you. All right, wait a second, though. Now, yeah, wait. Check yourself in the mirror. All right. Now, Bible says you put off these things, right? So, in the sense of these marks, these blemishes, this malice, blasphemy, these filthy communication, these things that the world is a part of that we have to put off, that we have to understand, have to go, bye-bye. Thank you. So now, here, you can go ahead and wipe your fingers off. That'll help. Well, yeah, for right now. Bible says, put off these things. In other words, get rid of them. Take them away. Now, what I want you to do is wipe it off. Some help there, bro. I'm just gonna hold the napkins. You're wiping, bro. Let me hold that one. All right. Dude, you're working well, bro. Feel good? Feel clean? Yeah? Feel like you got all that off? Feel like you put all off? The malice, the anger, filthy communication, all that's done, huh? Feel wet. but you think you're good? For the time being. My next question. Would either of you, purely out of faith, decide not to look at that mirror when I turn it around and just decide to go through the rest of the night like you are? Just got to double check. Why? You don't think you did a good job? Well, how do you double check? Well, ask me. Are you good? Do you have faith in my judgment? All right. So ask me, are you clean? Spotless. Wait a second. I'll be honest with you. You got a little on, like, way over here. And somehow you got some, like, right here. In all honesty, you didn't have any either of those two places I just told you. But you took it upon my faith that I was telling you correctly, right? Wait, let me ask you this. Do you think you did a better job than Alex? All right. You think you did a better job than her? Now, would either of you like to look in the mirror? Yeah? We'll let her go first. You stay over there. Need some more work? How did you know you needed more work? Get the point? You want to check yourself out? The illustration, the point is, when we use the face paint to indicate sin or the deeds of the flesh or the old man, how do I know I'm truly getting rid of the old man? How do I know? Some people have to work more than others. Some people have a lot more stuff in their life than other people, okay? But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, correct? So we've all had these things, or have these things in our life. We all have to work on us, right? But the only way that I know for sure, the only way that I can definitely look and say, I got that, I got rid of that, done with it, put it off. The only way I truly know is if I look into the perfect law of liberty. If I take the time in a spiritual sense and go and check myself in the Word of God and say, is it done? Because there's many times where I thought I'd handled the issue. There are many times where I thought I'd gotten rid of anger, or I thought I got rid of malice, or I thought I got rid of some things, but only the situation crop up and something happened in my life. Yeah. Good job. Everybody give them a hand. Thank you. So I'll take all the trash. You may be seated. Thank you very much. There has been, now, working in the field of construction and working with paint and mortar and different things that I've done throughout my life, there have been numerous times where I have come home and taken a shower and cleaned up and thought that I scrubbed really good and got it all taken care of, only to later on, maybe sometimes even right before I go to bed, and I look and I got a piece of grout still hanging on the sideburn or something. But I didn't know that until I took the time to really look and inspect the situation. And it's no different in our walk in relationship with God. When the Bible tells you, you got to put off these things. You got to put off anger and malice and all these different attributes of the world and of the earth and of the old man. When you set your affection upon things above, when you look into the perfect law of liberty, it reveals those parts of the earth, if you will, those parts of the old man that are still there, that have to be cleaned up, that I have to be conformed into the image of God. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Catch that. It's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and all. I put off the old man. I put off those deeds of the flesh. I mortify the members which are upon the earth. I get rid of those things as I look into the perfect law of liberty, and I check to make sure this is clean and this is right and I'm doing what I should be doing. At the same point in time, put on the new man. Now, maybe this doesn't happen at your house, but it happens at my house. I'm getting the lifted eyebrow from my wife. Prior to going places, and I understand it is different for a lady than it is for a man. I get that. That women spend twice, if not three times as much time in front of a mirror in preparation. What's that? Most women and most men, let's put that in the right parameters. But when it comes to putting on something, when it comes to putting on an outfit, when it comes to putting on a hairstyle, for many of you women, comes to hairstyle, ain't got much to worry about in the sense of putting on. It's just, you know, kind of is what it is. I told my dad, who's had the same part for forever, I told him not too long ago, I said, Dad, you've had that part from the womb. You need to, like, branch out, do something different with your hair. When we put on an outfit, or we put on something, how many of you have ever gotten dressed to go somewhere that was important, or that was a place where you wanted to look nice? Hopefully that would be church. And you didn't take the time to stop and check in the mirror. Probably never. In the natural, some of us, multiple times. Make sure it's right and everything's lined up and it's not wrinkled, it's not messed up. How does it look? what kind of image is here? How are we going to put on the new man? How are we going to know what the correct garments are? How are we going to know what righteousness is? How are we going to know what godliness is? How are we going to know what holiness is? How are we going to know what those things are unless we look into the mirror, unless we look and understand, wait a second, yes. And here's where we get it mixed up, because so many times we associate it with a physical image. And yes, while that is a part of it, the reality is I can go out and look the part and have the dress and look like I'm all that I should be. But if there's something inside of me, if there's malice or there's anger, I have a bad attitude, or I'm constantly negative and I'm pessimistic, and I haven't put on Jesus Christ, I have not put on his image, and I am not portraying his image to the world. And so when I get up in the morning, along with checking my physical image, maybe I should check my spiritual image and say, wait a second, if my spirit's not right before I enter in conversation with somebody, I should probably pray and get it right, so that the image that I present, so that the individual that they see, or the person that they see, they don't look at me and say, wow, that person's... You ever had somebody qualify another person by an ugly person, and it had nothing to do with their physical appearance? And it was just an ugly person. You mean they got a big nose, big ear? No, they're just ugly. They're just an ugly person. See, the reality is, when it comes to image, when it comes to what you and I are presenting to the world, am I presenting Jesus to the world? Am I presenting what I look into the perfect law of liberty and say, this is the way it happens? You see, this is the reality that they had trouble with when Jesus began to teach. Because Jesus would say things like, when someone wants to take your coat, give him your cloak also. When someone asks you to go a mile, go with him twain. Come on, Jesus, that doesn't make any sense. I don't get that. That's not the image that seems personable. That's not the image that seems conducive to me. That seems like a lot of sacrifice on my part. It seems like a lot of giving in on my part. What do you mean? It's the image of love and charity, forgiveness. If he smites you on the cheek, turn hither the other cheek also. Wait a second, that's something I can't do. That's something I can't live up to. How many, and I'll be the first to raise my hand, have ever read the Word of God and looked into the Word of God and realized, whoa, I'm way off. Whoa, I'm not even close. Wow, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in that area. And sometimes it's, excuse me for using Brother Alex, but we got to spend a lot of time, because there's a mess. There's a lot of stuff that we've created in our own lives and that we've facilitated in our own lives. And we've got to stay in line with the Word of God, with our affection upon things above, and say, it's more important to me that I be the right image of Jesus Christ to the world. And so I'm going to keep looking in the Word of God. And I'm not going to get it right all the time. And there's going to be areas where I come back and I look in the mirror and say, whoa, yeah. Not looking good there. But I always come back. And I look into the perfect law of liberty. And I realize, wait a second, I didn't truly put all that off that I thought I did. I thought I was clean. That's why the Bible says that we're washed with the Word. Because when we come to the house of God and we hear the preached Word of God, or we read the Word of God, it reveals those areas of our life. How many times have you ever done something, you got dirty and you got stuff on your hands, and you realize you wiped your brow, and you realize it's on your face, and you know, man, I got dirt all over my hands, I know it's on my face, and there's that compulsion to find a mirror, to find something where you can look and get the stuff off, because you know it's there, but you don't really know how to get it off or exactly where to wipe it off until you get in front of a mirror and you get your hands clean and you're able to then wash and get rid of it. That's why we should look at opportunities to come into the house of God. We should anticipate, and we should come with expectation. Man, I'm going to get cleaned by the word. I've had to rub shoulders with this world all week, and man, it's tried me, and I've run into some situations, and I realize that some parts of me that need cleaning up, so let me go in the house of the Lord, and let me be washed, and let me be cleansed. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Kind of like this. I know it's a simple play on the mirror, mirror on the wall, but it's kind of more like this. Kind of like mirror, mirror of the word, help me do what I've heard. James says, don't just be a hearer of the word, because if you just hear it, you don't continue therein. You're just like a natural man beholding his face in a glass. He looks at what he is, but then he goeth his own way and forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer. Think about it. Mirror, mirror of the word, help me do what I've heard. Every time I look in the word of God, and I'm going to try, and the more as I continue in the Bible reading, the more I read the Bible, the more even though it may seem like it's about stuff that happened years ago, and I can't really find all the parallels, or I really don't understand everything that I'm reading, there's still something in my heart that says, mirror, mirror of the word, help me do what I've heard. Help me somehow find a parallel, an application in my life that I can clean up, that I can wash with, because I want to be Jesus to the world. I want to be the best image of him that I can be, and that's going to take a lot of work, but I'm willing to work at it. I'm willing to continually look into the perfect law of liberty and find those areas of my life that have yet to conform and say, okay, here's where I need to clean. Here's where I really need to take some time, because it's dirty there. It's not good. Wash me. Make me clean. David said after his failure, purge me with hyssop. Create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. In a sense, I've become soiled by sin. I've participated in stuff that has caused me to be all messed up. And now I need you to help me. Mirror, mirror of the word, help me do what I've heard. And we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, Lord. I thank you, God, that we can look into your word, the perfect law of liberty. God, we can see those areas of our life that need work, and not in frustration, God, but understanding that you are long-suffering, that you are patient, God, and you desire, God, that we would understand, Lord, that following after you, God, you empower us, you equipped us, God, you have given us that which we have need of in order to clean ourselves up, God, in order through the washing of the word and your power and your blood, God, that we can come before you, we can confess our faults, God, that we can repent, God, you can cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, help us, God, to live by that adage, even though it's just a simple little rhyme, God, but mirror, mirror of the word, help me do what I've heard. Help me live it day in and day out, that I would be the image of you. Your love, your care, your forgiveness, your mercy, your grace, your truth. And every day of my life, I would endeavor to not only hear, but do. And be a follower of your word. In your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. You may go. Men, need your help downstairs real quick, if you could, to help us set up some tables and chairs.